for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock service, February the 16th, 2013. Sharon Mulkey is the speaker of this service, teaching on Healing the Wounds Caused by Being Bullied, Part 2.
I have a question. Do you guys, on your website, do you have available all of the tapes that Kathy has mentioned and different ones have mentioned? I mean, do you guys put those up there to buy?
Yeah.
To buy, okay. So all of the messages that Kathy has referred to and some of the other ladies, if you go to Monty and Sharon's website at wccd.org or org? Com. I keep forgetting. They have those available there, so you can get those. Also, I think, did Monty bring in some more brochures? Okay, there's more brochures for that for their conference next month, so you guys can pick those up and just visit out there. We would love to. You guys might have a house full more than what you're used to. Praise God. I mean, you may already have more. Huh? Friends are always welcome. Good. All right. You know, I was reminded when everybody has been sharing about how the provision has come. When Kathy was here the first time, I'm amazed that you have that kind of... But I do remember she had two little jingles that she shared, and I'll tell you, they got planted in my head. One was, where God guides, He provides, and where He appoints, He anoints. I've never forgotten those two, and I was reminded of that with all the ladies that are sharing. So, well, speaking of Sharon, would you like to come up, please, and Sharon? Yeah. And we have a special treat this evening, so everybody be sure and come with your singing voices, okay?
Yeah. Let's see. You girls are doing really well. It takes a lot of patience in your seat to sit this long, because most women don't sit that long. We're up doing stuff all the time. So it's really grace that we can sit here this long, isn't it? So just in case you wondered if God's grace is working, yeah, you're still sitting here. All right. You've all been really patient and really attentive. And I knew this was going to be a really good, we call them workshops, because we feel like we work when we do dealers, ladies' conference. Because the other day, I'm just sitting there and I'm just shaking. I'm going, what in the world is going on? And usually, speaking doesn't faze me. God's got me through that so much that it's like, okay. But boy, I was just shaking inside and outside. I'm going, this has got to be good. So God is doing a lot of things here, people, and it's exciting. One of the questions that I want to answer in this session is, well, why am I getting picked on? Why me? So some of the research I did, they gave some of these reasons. Besides the obvious reason that you're a Christian, you're created in God's image. No matter what evolution says, your mother was not a monkey. Your grandmother wasn't a monkey. You were created in the image of God, and the devil hates God, so he'll pick on God's kids. But what they said here, it says, although no one asks to be a victim, certain characteristics make a woman an easy target. This particular researcher said, I think it's probably the big three. One, being different. Maybe you're the only unmarried, childless woman in a book club filled with stay-at-home moms. I would say go to a different book club. But I'm sorry, that's just it. The other one, women may not be able to relate to you, which can make you a target. I think if you live in a small town, being different sticks out a whole lot faster than when you live in a big town. So you ladies that live in small towns, you know how fast gossip and rumors travel. But being different really sticks out. Two, being betrayed. A woman can become a scapegoat when someone in the group leaks a secret or weakness that she shared in confidence. There's nothing really more devastating than to share with someone that you truly believe is a friend that will keep something confidential, and they don't. You ladies all know that hurt. I think every one of us have had that experience. It's one thing that as you move into deliverance and you start doing deliverance back home and in your churches, our rule of thumb is after you finish praying for someone, you forget what you prayed about. You do not have the right to share. That is not your right. And in California, you can be sued. If you reveal confidential information, it's under the HIPAA laws, the HIPP laws, you can be sued. You have to ask yourself, why would I want to share something that someone shared in confidence to me? That's the question you ask yourself. Why would I want to share it? Would I want someone to share what I would tell that person? You know, the rule still applies, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Three, being excluded. When the queen bee cuts down another woman, the rest of her friends often follow suit until an entire bond is based on shunning one individual. Now, we talked about the queen bee. I think it'll be interesting when you go back to work. God is going to start pointing out these personalities to you in your workplace or school. The queen bee. And you will know the queen bee because all the activity swirls around her. I mean, and at our hospital, you know, when I was doing this research, and I just had to laugh because I thought, my gosh, she has it posted. Right, she's our unit ward clerk, you know, and it's right there, queen bee. And she's been the brunt of a lot of manipulation and control and wanting things her way, and we'll talk about how to deal with that in a little bit. But being excluded, shunning, it was said that the Indians, when they disciplined their children, they never spanked them, but they shunned them or shamed them. And that was more emotionally painful than getting a good licking on your butt. I advocate doing what the Bible says on the butt, which, you know, don't abuse them, but just discipline them. But being excluded and out of a group for a woman is very, very painful. Now, some of us have gotten real tough and hard, and well, it doesn't matter anyway, but it really does. God created women to be relational. One of the things that we found after our women's workshop is that God somehow miraculously has broken down walls between women. And it's much easier for the women to relate to each other on a deeper level, and also much easier to relate to women in their workplace. And some of the things that may be impeding you from getting advancements and promotions is this invisible wall that you've built around yourself that you don't even know that's there, but everybody else feels it. You may say, well, gee, nobody wants to get close to me. Or when you come into a room, you make sure that you sit in a place where there's not too many other people around. This invisible wall is felt by your husband, your kids, your friends, and you may not even be aware that you have it, but you've put it there to protect yourself from being hurt again. The fear of being hurt again is a powerful spirit. I know I had that spirit, and a woman will do anything not to be hurt again emotionally. I'm telling you, we will climb Mount Everest. We will swim the seven seas. Whatever it takes not to feel that pain again. So like one of the speakers said before us, and I think it was Sonia, there will be times when you, in getting your deliverance, there will be pain. This pain will come up again, up. But I just encourage you to just let it come up and then tell it to go. Don't be afraid to cry. A lot of spirits come out when you cry. That's how I generally get most of my deliverance, is just crying. Not that I haven't been on the floor before. Everybody needs floor time. Bullying doesn't necessarily stem from jealousy. According to Delagasse, this researcher, it starts early on, sometimes even in preschool. Young girls test out different behaviors to see what they can get away with and how far they can go. This is just a normal 2-year-old to me. They're going to test you. But the sad part is, when they're at home with you, they test you, and you can reinforce what's good behavior and what is bad behavior. But if they're all in preschool, they can do a lot of testing on each other that the teacher isn't even aware of. And they get away with the little pinching. And, you know, the best thing that can happen is somebody bites you, because then you squeal and the teacher's right there. Oh, you bit Sally or whatever. But it's all the other little tiny subtle things that little girls do to each other that goes under the radar, that starts to build a foundation in you that somehow you're different. And that is very scary. There's a fear that comes in with being different. And one of the things I want to share here is, you know, parents, there's a time, pick your battles. When kids go to school, our kids didn't want to be dropped off close to school because we drove this old station wagon. You know, my husband, he could have pitched a fit and said, nah, 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 but he said, fine. You know what? I'll drop you off 2 blocks, you walk to school. Maybe there's some jeans that are the fad right now. Is it going to kill you to let your kid wear a pair of the latest jeans? Maybe you can only afford one pair a year at $100 a pair. But, you know, to kids, this is important. Our kids are creative. And they wanted to color their hair blue. And they were light blonde. So we decided, we said, okay, and we don't partake in Halloween, but we figured this was a good excuse, time of the year. We said, yes, you can dye your hair blue on Halloween. What in the scope of things is that going to matter? One, they're going to find out how hard it is to get it out, you know, and they may not decide to do that. But my daughter, who works at Disney, still colors her hair purple, and it's a gorgeous shade of purple. So what does it matter? Does it matter? She fits in with all the other people at Disney. It's really important, parents, to not be so legalistic or religious. Or there's some things that aren't worth making a mountain out of. Pick your battles. Because being different is very scary. And the devil capitalizes on that right away, because he doesn't want everyone to be different. He wants you all to be robots that say, yes, sir, whatever you want, sir. I will go to work and work 8 hours, sir. I will go home. The devil is working through many, many levels in many areas to make us just to be robots. So we all look the same. We all do the same. So there's a fine line when your kids want to express their individuality, but yet they don't want to stick too far out to be different. Maybe some of you are remembering that you were made fun of for your differences. God help you if you're the first girl in class to get boobs. There's so much sexual harassment that goes on with that. And that is so humiliating and so embarrassing. A young woman who becomes entrenched in manipulative behaviors early on carries them into adulthood. Oftentimes, the bully may not even realize she's a bully. She may just be acting out of habit. Other women bully simply because they have a low self-esteem. They derive a sense of power and control over situations that might otherwise make them feel helpless. They may also believe that the easiest way to make friends is to unite with other girls against one victim. Negative interactions with women at a young age can cause a girl to grow up defensive. The bully is a victim in some ways, too, She suffers from the same feelings of fear, anger, and lack of confidence that she fosters in others. Bullying may be her way of protecting herself. Another part of why people may bully you is if you have parents that are abusive at home, you may not know how to protect yourself. Your mom and dad are fighting, they're each beating up on each other, and your brother's beating up on your other brother or your sister. And you have no way of knowing, well, how do I protect myself? I am in all this chaos. Alcoholic families often breed bullies and bullied people. Bullying is mostly psychological. For example, criticism about work or stealing work from you to use as their own ideas. This goes on all the time, people. Another type of bullying that someone shared with me when she was in law school, the girls would hide the books in the library so that the other girls couldn't get them to study for the tests. We don't outgrow bullying. I had one patient in the hospital, and she was relating to me some of the adventures her poor son went through. He was a PhD, but when he was doing his research, there was another research person that worked at the same lab as he did, came in one night, and I think he either killed all his mice that he was doing research on or let them go, or I think he killed them, because, I mean, like 6 months of research gone. Can you imagine 6 months of your life found dead in a rat cage because that's what your research was based on? You see, the bullying in the scientific and academic fields is horrific. It's not just little snot-nosed boys or hoity-toity girls. There are people who try to steal other people's research and publish it for themselves. Now, you would think that they would be educated enough and smart enough to know people shouldn't do that. But you see, people don't have morals anymore. They don't have anything in them that says this is right or wrong. There are many different reasons why bullies target people, but some reasons are consistent in most cases of bullying. So what draws a bully to their target and why? Here are some reasons. Bullies are opportunists, and usually it's a case of you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the bully found that they can intimidate you easily. The bully is jealous of you and secretly wishes that they were like you. The bully is afraid of exposing their inadequacy, and you only make them feel more inadequate, especially if you are excellent at your job or schoolwork. So the bully acts as a sabotager. You are popular and therefore get more attention than the bully, and this is how the bully wants to be. He wants to be the one with the attention. You are independent, and you don't need to get strength from others, so bullies often get their strength from their gang of followers, who find it funny that you are tormented. The bully is a very weak and insecure person. It's like a good example is the puffer fish. You know the puffer fish or a banny hen? They're these little tiny chickens. But like if there's a snake or something that comes in the yard, they go, they just puff up to this. You know, they're all feathers and they're going after the snake. Or a puffer fish, you know, it's like this skinny and then all of a sudden it goes, whoop. That's a bully. He's a puffer fish or a banny hen. They're all hot air. So help your kids with this. Say, you know what, honey, that kid is all hot air. If you can beat the crap out of him and get away with it, do it, because then it'll be over. See, in the old days, boys could do this. And you know what? After that, the pecking order was established and everything was fine. But it took that initial getting that pecking order down. But we're talking about girls here. And the sad thing is, girls go in gangs, in groups. We don't go to the bathroom alone. It's like we're at the movies. All the ladies get up and go to the bathroom. The men just sit there and go, they all had to go at the same time? No. So just to show that we like to do things together. We really do. There's been such an increase with girls ganging up on other girls and just beating them half to death. I mean, this isn't just two boys slugging it out and one's going to get the message and the other one's going to win or lose. This is vicious, malicious. It almost borders on murder. And then they film it with their little camera and put it all over. My question is, why aren't the police knocking on their doors? Well, let's take a quiz. Are you a bully? I think many of you are surprised to find out that you were the bully and not just the bullied one. Because, I mean, we're just sweet and nice and we'd never do that. But here's question number one. Do you make mean faces or bad hand signals to others? Do you spread rumors or say mean things about others behind their back? Compulsive confession. It's okay. You don't have to confess. Just. Number three. Do you make fun of or tease other teens often? We'll just make it fit this group. Do you tease your brothers and sisters still? And is there kind of a mean spirit behind some of the teasing you do with your grown brothers and sisters even? Or other women? Do you whisper secrets to a friend in front of another person and then not share the secret with him or her on purpose? This is where you whisper in your friend's ear and your other friend is standing there and she makes it very clear to you, we are talking about her. Have you purposely not invited someone to hang out with you and your friends? How about now? Have you been or are you currently part of a clique that is exclusive about whom you can and cannot be friends with and has not let others join? This is still happening with women. Well, if you don't go to the country club, I'm not talking to you. There's a lot of cliques, and there's a lot of cliques in churches, and they're deadly. Do you often make fun of others because they are different from you or your friends? In school, you're called Four Eyes because you wear glasses. Ugly clothes, bad hair, or a different race or ethnicity or religion. I find it that adults do this just as much as kids do. Have you hazed another member of your sports team or fraternity, or girls have sororities? Have you hazed them? That's what you call the initiation. See, the demons haze you all the time. You know, they're hazing you when you say, I'm going to go to the workshop. They're going to go, not on your life, honey. So they start talking to you. They start talking to your boss. They start talking to your husband. And pretty soon everything is up in chaos. Your kids are sick. The dog puked on the rug. And the bank called and said the IRS froze your bank account. You cannot believe, but you will. After you come to these a couple times, nothing will surprise you at what the devil throws in your way. So the devil's been hazing you all this time. But have we hazed other people? And a lot of it is the initiation into clubs and into groups. Number nine, have you ever threatened to hurt someone? I had a bad habit of speech. I would say, well, I'm going to cut their heads off. Well, in some countries, that could happen. But why do I say that? You know, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So when we find ourselves saying things like that, and I'm just ratting on myself, we need to stop and examine it. What's down there? But have you ever threatened to hurt someone? Number 10, have you ever punched, shoved, pinched, or hit another boy or girl? It doesn't take a lot to fall into the bully category, does it? Have you bullied coworkers? Have you sabotaged their work? I've known some nurses in some places, not on my unit, because I would cut their head off, you know, where they will purposely sabotage another nurse's work. They will hang the wrong IV. I mean, this is so horrible. They could kill a patient, but they are so vindictive about getting some nurse fired or something. And this is where I see you have nationalities of nurses that are from different countries. Some are the Philippines, some are from India, some are from the United States, some are from wherever. And you get these cliques in hospital nurses, and it can be deadly. You have to really watch that. And as a manager, that's something that I have to watch, in the ratio of which I hire people. It's sad to say, but these nurses told me themselves that there is a Filipino mafia. The Filipino Nurses Association, you cross them, they've taken me to court. They have tried to sue me because one person was fired, and she should have been fired. She met all the criteria to be fired. But the Filipino mafia came after me and my boss. One put a note under my door, "You're good for one bullet." Then they stole my car that had all of my son's birthday gifts in it, which was oodles of hockey equipment that cost me an arm and a leg. Bullying is dangerous business. And we need to examine, am I harboring anything in me that the devil could trigger? We call them walking time bombs. It's a time bomb ticking away inside you that you don't even know you have. It's like a landmine. You're walking along someday and all of a sudden murderous rage takes over you and you shake your kid a little too hard and throw him on the floor and his arm breaks or his neck breaks. The spirit of murderous rage is trying to manifest to murder someone. And you didn't even know you had that spirit. This is not a game we're playing, people, and the devil is out for keeps. This is very serious business. We're not to be afraid of the devil, but I want you to realize that you have entered into a minefield. And the minefield is in us. And that's why we say, God, every morning you wake up and you bind and loose over yourself. And you have a willing attitude of, Lord, whatever in me I want out. That's all God has to hear. And He will protect you from yourself. I've seen that in my own life. Demons that were in me could have blown up and destroyed my life, my husband's life, my kid's life. But the God we serve is for us to get free, and don't be afraid. But you got to realize, what did somebody say? You're running with the big dogs now or something like that? What a blessing that you've been asked to do that. In recent news headlines, there have been cases of female bullying where teen girls will physically gang up on one another and attack. This type of behavior has been happening for decades and likely even before that. However, now that bullying is becoming more and more recognized, cases of female bullying have increased. Bullying can also include stealing from another person. No hands, please. Or damaging their personal property. How many of us have had a bike stolen or something stolen out of our locker? Or older boys stealing the lunch money from the little kids. Stealing from another person or damaging their personal property is bullying. Types of hazing by forcing others to do something embarrassing or harmful to themselves or others is also another type of physical bullying. While males typically take the rap for such behaviors, females can also have just a devastating impact on their peers. And we talked about cyberbullying before, which has just taken bullying to the next level. Here are some more reasons that people bully. Cultural causes of bullying. In a culture that is fascinated with winning and power and violence, some experts suggest that it is unrealistic to expect that people will not be influenced to seek power through violence in their own lives. Researchers point to the World Wrestling Federation as glorification of bullies in the name of entertainment and point out that the high rate of domestic violence means that many young people grow up expecting that violence is an acceptable way to get what one wants. So what a child is modeled or seen, they don't know any different. To them, that's just the way life is. I want something, I beat the crap out of you, and I get it. When you get older, you hire a lawyer, and he does it. There's a lot of bullying going on with lawyers when you get older. Institutional causes. If the institution at which the bully takes place, whether the home, the school, or workplace, does not have high standards for the way people treat each other, then bullying may be more likely and or prevalent and have an influence on why people bully. And more, our workplace has no standards. Anything goes as long as you don't get caught. What's important, I am telling you at this meeting, is the bottom line, and I don't care how you get there. I want the bottom line met. So all these managers who are scared to death to lose their job go back to their units, and they bully and they connive and they manipulate to make sure that the bottom line is given so they don't lose their job. Social issues. The fact that one gets more social recognition for negative behaviors than for positive ones can also contribute to reasons why people bully. Situation comedies and reality TV, as well as real-life situations in schools, for example, show that acting out is more likely to get noticed than behaving oneself civilly and courteously. Jealousy or envy and a lack of personal and social skills to deal with such feelings can also be reasons why people bully. Who gets the attention? The squeaky wheel, right? You have been told that. If you want to get their attention, you just be the squeaky wheel. You just keep on them and on them and on them. You just keep calling them and calling them and calling them, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And you know what's sad? Is that's the only way our society reacts to each other. Instead of doing what's right, right for you, right for them, everyone expects that you have to be this way to get things done. It's the same way with our kids. Don't do that. No, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. Instead of saying, wow, thank you for cleaning up your room. I mean, and every research study has shown that what you praise is repeated. What you praise is repeated. Not what you say no to your child about. I mean, there's things and times you have to keep your child out of danger. We all know that. If he's going to run into the street, the truck's coming. That's just common sense. But every day, we are so liberal with the word no, 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 no. Most of these kids think that their name is no-no. I have the blessing to, we have an adopted grandchild, and she's very strong-willed and very smart. And like you say, you know, sometimes when you see kids that are like you, oh, I'm telling you, there's times that I just want to go, and I go, that's right, you're strong-willed and you're smart. How am I going to deal with this? And so you have to deal with it in an adult manner. You give them a choice. You want the blue shoe or the red shoes. A lot of people, too, that are bullied do not have the social skills and how to deal with these people. They just have never been taught how to deal with people that are bad. There's a lot of books out there that you can read, I mean, just to develop your skill level, or how to answer someone. But the bottom line is, no, I can't do that. But there's a lot of fancy ways to say that. Family issues. Families that are not warm and loving, in which feelings are not shared, are more likely to have children who bully, either within the family home or in other locations in which the children meet others. Another home environment that is prone to producing bullies is one in which discipline and monitoring are inconsistent and or a punitive atmosphere exists. This is the no-no house. Everything is a no-no. Stop that. It's down. The bully's personal history. Children who experience social rejection themselves are more likely to pass it on to others. Children who experience academic failure are also more likely to bully others. You know, every kid is so thrilled to go to school because they want to learn how to read. And then they give them Dick and Jane. That was right from the pit of hell. I know, my parents were teachers for over 35 years. When they took phonics out of the schools, reading scores dropped horrifically. Well, these little kids that were just so bright-eyed, and I'm going to school and I'm going to learn to read. There isn't one kid I haven't met that isn't just so excited to learn how to read. They get to school and they have to memorize the words. Well, boys neurologically develop at a slower rate than girls do. But they're putting a group of girls with the first grade girls, and they're neurologically more advanced, so they probably memorize the words easier. I'm telling you, shame. Shame is so painful to a boy. Shame is painful to us girls, too. And when you're put in the slowpoke reading class and everybody knows it, okay, the little green group that can't read, you go over there, and you advanced readers, you go over there. Kids pick up on little differences. Having power. Some research indicates that the very fact of having power may make some people wish to yield it in a noticeable way. Oh, we see that every time we go through the airport. TSA, you give a little person this big badge, and oh, pretty soon they're Hitler's assistant. Take off your shoes. Oh, my hat bag. And you know they maybe didn't make it through the sixth grade, but they have this badge right here. And that's an abuse of power, but they can use it over you. You guys know. You know, you give somebody like that a badge and you're in trouble. And you don't think the devil doesn't know to do that? And it says, it's also true that people may be given power without being trained in leadership skills that will help them yield it wisely. Either situation, whoops, can contribute to why people bully others. Oh, that was just the heel of my shoe. I thought, I am not standing on that stool. Why am I falling down? Oh, yes, I want your slippers. You know the Bible verse that says, if any woman wants your pink slippers, you're supposed to get them. Oh. Okay. Provocating victims. People who are annoying and condescending to others and or aggressive verbally or in other ways that are not picked up by those in authority may contribute to the dynamics that can be characterized as bullying by one individual but actually grows out of a provocation by another individual. Okay. In English. Okay. People who are annoying and condescending to others or are verbally aggressive to others or in other ways, they may not be seen as the ringleader, but they're there too with their snippy little comments. And girls, we are so good at sniping. We just snipe, 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 and it is sharp, and it is pointed and to the point, and it can hurt like the devil. Well, whether you are a bully or you're bullied, God's here like we talked about before. Because your life matters to Him. You know, He gave Jesus Christ for your life. You're not chump change. He sent His only Son to die and bear every sin you'll ever, ever have and to raise again to be your Savior. You are a precious person to Him, and that's how He sees you. You're valuable and you're not replaceable. One of the areas that I want to talk about where the bullying is shutting you down, because in Proverbs 18:8 we talked about the words of a talebearer are as wounds and they go deep into the innermost parts of the belly and where they seal up and cap over and stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. There's a reason why they do that. Because what they're doing is the devil sees the gifts a lot of times that God has put into you. The devil also sees the love language you have. Maybe your love language is words of affirmation. So he sends verbal abuse after you. Maybe your love language is quality time, and nobody has time for you. Receiving gifts may be your love language, and no one comes to your birthday party. Acts of service. Nobody wants you to join their club. Physical touch. They either avoid you like the plague or they beat up on you. Right away, the enemy has put a cap and a seal on the love language that God wanted to use through you to bless the world. And how can you bless each other if your love language is all capped down and sealed over? But we know the uncapper. Every child has 7 basic needs, and one of the big top of the list is to be loved and accepted. And what does bullying do? It tells you you are not loved and you are not accepted. And after that, do the other 6 really matter? No. But the devil doesn't stop there. We are born with a God-given desire to be significant. I want my life to amount to something. I want to make a difference in the world. God put that in every person. So the enemy goes to work right away, making you feel useless. Nobody wants you. What you have to offer is not wanted. It's not of any use. Another one that is so severely attacked, and this is for men and women, this list, is to feel special. There's a demonic side to this special spirit, but God put in everyone the need to feel special. And when you're bullied, or if you bully others, I would say that you don't feel very special to anybody. Maybe you weren't taught growing up that you are special to God. If everyone on earth hates you, you're still special to God. That is a basic primary need. Another one is to be valued. The bully and the bullied don't feel valued. They feel like nobody really cares. It doesn't really matter what I do. We have a need to be validated, to say, good job. And women, this is really critical, this need for validation. And it's often very hard for husbands to know that and to pick up on that, this validation. Sometimes you kind of have to train them. You just have to talk to them and let them know that, honey, just give me feedback. Does this dress make me look fat? No, yeah. You know. But, right. But don't ever ask them that question because you're forcing them to lie. You know. You wouldn't even ask if you didn't think it did, right? If we felt really sexy in it, we wouldn't even be asking that, right? Okay. But to be validated. What happens also when you get bullied is a spirit of arrested development comes in. And your emotional development can stop at the age where you were severely bullied. So if your husband says, you're acting just like a three-year-old, well, maybe you are. Listen to what other people say, especially when they're mad at you or they're not happy with you. There may be a grain of truth. So instead of flying off the handle and throwing the frying pan at him or something, say, okay, God, what do you want me to learn out of this? Because arrested development can emotionally, and what it does, it arrests your emotional growth at that age. Wherever there's been a traumatic event in your life, I want you to try and think, and God, please bring it back to their memories. Your emotions are arrested there. If you were severely bullied in junior high, it's very possible that you're a 13-year-old girl in a 40-year-old body and still throwing temper tantrums. But the good news is that we can get rid of that spirit and we lose the spirit of maturation on us. And God helps us to go through those stages. You still have to go through every stage you missed, but you do it rather quickly. I remember when I went through the dollhouse stage. I'm a grown woman, and I want a dollhouse. You've got to let yourself go through those stages that you missed. And I would go on the Internet and search out what are the stages of development. Because as you go through them, you'll cooperate with God. There's a stage in high school that if you never got to primp, you have to go through that. Because part of you has missed that high school primping stage. So it's not wrong to go out and buy all the makeup and find out half of it, this doesn't look right anyway, because that's what you did in high school. You tried the green, the yellow, the brown, the orange. And I know that's a whole other message in itself, and I'm trying not to get too much in, but how can you not? Oh. Another reason that the devil has sent the talebearer after you is that bullying changes your perception of who you are, and it changes the perception of how you see others. Pretty soon, the whole world is colored by the bully that bullied you or the people you bullied. Everyone begins to look like them. You find fault in everybody, that fault-finding spirit, that critical spirit. Well, they just do that. But the bullying spirit makes you look for the worst in others. Bullying can totally change your personality. I want you to hear this. You may not be who you think you are. If you're a shy, quiet little girl, I doubt that's how God made you. If you're a loudmouth, I doubt that's how God made you. That's different from being bold and expressive. I'm talking about, everybody knows the loudmouth. Always poking her business where it doesn't belong. But this spirit has the power to change your personality. And that's when you have the little orange days. And you go, boo! There were times when I got deliverance, I felt like I was floating in space and I couldn't grab onto anything. It was so scary. Because, it's like I felt my whole body was like, I couldn't grab onto anything. Nothing was familiar. Nothing was the same. Because that's why God doesn't deliver us all in one day. It's little by little. When you get rid of the spirit of being bullied and the spirit of bullying, you'll begin to love one another. and be ye kind one to another. It'll just be so easy because God is already in us, but His nature comes out so much more easily when it doesn't have to come through that bully spirit. Because that bully spirit in us, or being bullied and all that it's done, it doesn't let the good things that God come out either. And we're commanded to be kind one to another, right? Tender-hearted, forgiving. You're going to find that that is just a piece of cake, a walk in the park after you get these spirits out. You're going to surprise yourself. And there is such power in kindness. One of the things that the Lord showed me was, He just said, sure, be kind to everyone you meet. Because you don't know what's going on in their life. And the power of kindness, it's like TNT, you people. It can blow things all to smithereens in someone. They've never experienced someone being kind to them or talking kindly to them because maybe they've been bullied and abused and talked down to their whole life. And when you say something kind to them or do something kind, it just stops them dead in their tracks. What I'm finding, and I was just shocked, I guess, is people get suspicious of you when you're kind. What do you want? What are you up to? Hey, I'm going. Nothing. You know, I'm just being myself. We're just being ourselves. But that's such a sign of the times in our world, people, is kindness is like TNT. Use it everywhere, all the time. It works wonders. And remember, a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, if you and your husband are just going to have a big fight, whisper. Start whispering. First of all, you won't escalate. And if he really wants to hear what you're saying about him, he has to come close to you. Then you can kiss him or kick him. No. But these are all just little tricks of the trades, lady. Tell ya. You hang out with us old folks for a while. You know. I think, Monty and I have been married, 36 years or so? Deliverance saved our marriage. That's why we got into deliverance. We said, you know what? Either deliverance heals this marriage or we're splitting the sheets. We are out of here. Yeah. But we're still married, so deliverance works, people. Now, what this bully spirit does, too, is that it robs you of who God made you to be. And when you get to heaven, God's going to say, okay, Mary Jane, I sent you to Little Rock, Arkansas. You were 6 pounds, 4 ounces, and I put all of these gifts into you. And I had this plan for your life, and you let someone bully you out of it. But that's what God is looking for. Did you do what I created you to do? This is a two-edged sword, and I want you to use it to your advantage. When you start getting bullied, you remember this. Am I going to let them steal? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because that's what they want to steal, is God saying to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I know most of you are strong-willed. God made you that way. You have to be that way to persevere. You set your face like flint. That's translated. He had a strong will and he went to Jerusalem. But you think about that. God put in you something to do, and the devil wants to steal it from you. Another way that your life destiny is going to be stolen is by your parents' fears. Artists and writers don't make any money. So go do something that makes money. A lot of our parents were raised up that you did what made money. And they quenched the spirit in you of what God had created you to do because they didn't have the faith to believe that God would provide with you and they didn't want you living with them for the rest of their life. Our culture and different cultures are robbing you of your destiny by telling you that girls do this and not that. By religion, girls do this and not that. Our own fears now are robbing us of our destiny because we have taken everyone else's fears as our own. It's like when you teach your kids swimming. If you're not afraid of the water, they do fine. But if you're like my mother and she was afraid of the water, all that fear transfers into the kids. Family line curses. Everybody in this family was a lawyer. You're going to be a lawyer too. Everybody was a doctor. I run into this all the time at work, people. We're going to have a doctor. And you're going to be a doctor because your grandpa was a doctor and I'm a doctor. I've met so many doctors that hate their job. Did you know that only 5% of the population like their work? That means 95% of the people are going to a job they just do not like. And that is not good for your health. And do you really do that great of a job? Not really. Because your heart and your soul isn't into it. The gift that God put into you was put into you to make a living for you. You know, I mean, it's just like if you lived in one area your whole life, if let's say you were born in Little Rock, every disease that you would catch or infirmity, within 50-mile radius are all the plants to heal that disease if you lived in that one area all your life. God has provided everything we need. Something that people probably haven't shared with you is that you are the gift. You. You are the gift. You. The people you. Not even so much what you do. You are the gift. You all are the gift to the world. Because you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the world. Just being a Christian, you're the gift. That's it. You are the gift. I did a whole message on that. And I just, when the Lord shared that with me, it was awesome. It was so liberating. What is the fruit of fulfilling your gift and what God has created you to do? It brings life. I am so sick and tired of this job. I've got a migraine again and I got a backache. No hands, please. When you're doing the job that God created you to do, it brings life to you. It brings joy. When you talk with people, they light up when you talk about what they're created to do. Oh, you're an artist. Yeah, I'm an artist and I like to do this. And oh, I write or I do this. They light up. And that's a sign for yourself. What lights you up? You will have real joy. You'll have real peace. You'll have righteousness. You will feel satisfied, full, filled up. You open up. You love more freely and you give more easily. You forgive and you have more compassion on others. And money isn't the goal of your life. How many people have I met? It's like, they will work for a nickel an hour if they're doing what they love to do. Well, see, we've made money our God and how much we make our God. And we've trusted in that. Well, to live in California, you've got to make at least $200,000 or you're just not going to make it. Oh, that's great. God's sending us there, right? Oh, how do you like that? How are we going to do that? Where God guides, He provides. I started a job. $15 an hour, they just kept giving me raises and promotions and raises and promotions, and it was all from God. Every job offer He brought to me, I didn't even go seeking it. But God made it possible. He got the work for Monty so that we could live there. Where God guides, He provides. So those of you that God may be asking to move right now, and you're thinking, oh, we can't afford the rent over there. Well, we couldn't either. It was double. First, it was double what we paid in Chicago when we came out to the first place in California. And then when God said to Monty, move down to L.A., it was double again. I'm glad we were young and dumb and just thought we could do it. I don't know if I got that much faith anymore. we just thought everything's possible with God, you know. Three little kids. Oh, my gosh. Oh. When you're doing what you were created to do, you really have something to share with the world. And you want to share it, and they want to receive it. It's amazing. And you don't want to be like anybody else. It just zaps that whole spirit of comparison. I mean, God could get so much mileage out of one little thing, doing what you're created to do. You become salty, and people thirst, and people are drawn to you. Instead of repelled, because there's just life in you and people are attracted to life. You'll find that you have true self-acceptance instead of striving and driving yourself and others. Before I came into a full understanding of this, man, I'm German. I am half German. Thank God I have a little Swede in me. God, Monty said that's what saved me. But Germans, they drive and push and push, and it's got to be right, and it's got to be right the first time. And if you don't have a self-acceptance and you're not doing what God created to do, you can drive everybody around you crazy, And they end up hating you because they're just pushed and driven and pushed and driven. But when you accept yourself, you accept others. You just don't have a problem with that. There's so many demons you don't even have to deal with. This is amazing. And you know what? You won't be going through a midlife crisis. And a lot of midlife crises destroy everything you have worked your whole life to up to that point. And I see it a lot with men because they're not doing what God created them to do either. So ladies, when God says, or your husband says, honey, I'm going to move and I'm going to take this job, you go, yes. Yes, sir. Because I'm telling you, if you have a happy husband, you're going to have a nice life. And God will make a way for you, and you'll have a nice life, and you'll have a happy life. When Monty said we were moving to Chicago, that was the first big thing, and we lived on the farm. He hardly even drove out of Montana. He didn't even know what a two-lane freeway was. I mean, the first time we saw three lanes in one row, our eyes were this big. Oh, my gosh, you know? And there were cars in all three lanes. They're going fast, yeah. You got to remember, we came from the country where there's one pickup on the road, you know, at a time. And when you have self-acceptance, you're eager to help others to develop their gifts and talents. Because I like sharing with you. God just put it into me that to help people be all they can be, who you really are. And it gives me no greater delight than to help to see you succeed. I'm not going to sabotage you. I'm not going to do something to harm you. I want to see you succeed. I want to see you blessed. And when you accept yourself, that's how you'll be with the people around you. And at work, I'm telling you, I have been director of nurses, and I have been there, done that, and I'm not going back. I'll tell you. So whenever they would ask me for the job where I work, I'd say, no, I'm happy right where I'm at. I was sure to tell the new boss, I don't want your job, and I will do everything in my power to make you look good. And I'm telling you, I have never had a problem with one boss. And she's gone to bat for me when I've needed someone in my corner. Because she knew I wasn't after her job. So don't be after your boss's job. Promotion comes from the Lord. And don't be doing manipulative, conniving things to get someone else's position, because when you get there, it'll be a curse to you, not a blessing. God is able to promote you in time. When you're doing what you love to do, you won't have to relive your life through your kids. This is a biggie in California. All these little child stars. And Daddy wanted a football player, but his son was given the talent to be a concert pianist. Mom wanted a ballerina, but she was created to be a lion trainer. If you are intent on reliving your life through your kids, you better just expect them to grow up to hate you. They will hate you. They will resent you because they know what you're doing. You know, it's never too late to become who God made you to be. George Eliot said that one time. I found that on a bookmark, and I've kept it for years and years. And George Eliot was a female that wrote with a male pen name because they wouldn't publish female authors. Get creative, ladies. There's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. What did you like to do when you were about 5 years old? We're finding that when we do deliverance on people and start asking them, that they're finding around about the age of five, most kids really kind of knew what they liked. My daughter was born with a crayon in her hand. You know, she came out 6 pounds, 2 ounces with a blue crayon. You know, it just seems like that. She and everybody knew from the minute she was born, she was artistic. Now, with the two boys, it wasn't as evident. But as I look back, they're engineers. They got all kinds of awards for building all these fancy things with Legos. They got most resourceful, most ingenuitive. They're engineers. A lot of Germans are engineers. And as aunts and grandmas and friends, when you see something in a child of a friend that you have, comment on that. Just say, well, I see that she's got some abilities here. Well, I bet she'd love a gymnastic class because she's always doing somersaults in the front room. She's always trying to climb on the refrigerator. Why don't we get her to gym class where she can walk the high beam bar instead of fall off the fridge? You know, people don't find that offensive. And the kids love it when they are recognized for what they do. And when you love something and you're created to do it, you just naturally do it well. You don't have to grind it out. It just flows naturally. And one of the things is you may not recognize your gift and talents because it's too easy. It just flows out of you. So how can it be a gift and a talent when it just flows out of me? Don't I have to study hard and do this? I mean, like a piano, a person that's talented at the piano, yes, they hone their skill by piano lessons, but they love to play the piano. They'll sit there for hours. Well, what do you do? Here you are, not living the life I wanted to live. I'm not doing the job I wanted to do. I wanted to write, to paint, to draw. Well, think on those things. In Colossians, God gave me a new way to look at that verse. He said, think on those things, whatsoever things are good and true. All those things, what about you? What's good to you? What's true to you? Start asking yourself those questions. So let's say you're working at the local dog pound and you know God didn't create you to do that. And you start getting deliverance and you start getting frustrated because you're starting to get a glimpse of what God created you to do. But you're still working at the dog pound because you got to feed the kids. Here's what you do. You start. Start doing what you love to do. A lot of times, it's what people's hobbies are. And then when they retire, they do their hobby and make a fortune. I've seen that so many times. If you've always wanted to write, just start writing. If you've always wanted to paint, go buy some paints. Take a class. Read the books in your area of interest. Maybe you just love cooking. Take a cooking class or buy a book. The other thing Monty was telling me, I'm telling you, YouTube and all that stuff, he clicks on there and like he has made a whole guitar this year. And it's like, wow. But you go on YouTube, I guess, and you click on, and they've got everything on there, how to do this and how to do that. So if you don't have any money, there's still no excuse. You know, there really isn't anymore. If you like medicine, learn CPR. If you want to be a hostess and an entertainer, well, just start inviting people over to your house. Did you know most of the major hotel lines started in the Depression, and they started having people in their house? Sheraton and a bunch of the Hiltons are these major hotels now. These multi-billion-dollar corporations started in a house. See, you can't despise the day of small beginnings. Because if you do, you'll never start. And you will live. The only difference between a rut and a grave is the dimensions. But you know, deliverance is so wonderful because it really helps you get out of the ruts. It helps get you out. You know, there's a lot of community colleges now. There's adult classes. Just start doing what you like to do. It is the best thing you can do for your health. Now, I can tell you about Obamacare, not in nice words, but what I want to tell you, the best thing that you can do for your health is do what you like to do. When I broke my health, as I was a director of nurses of these huge places, and I mean, my brain loved it. It's like, yeah! But it broke my body because my body could not keep up with my brain. One day, I could not get out of bed. I mean, I could not will myself to sit up and get out of bed. God said, enough is enough. And what I did for 3 months, I worked outside in the yard and in the garden. And there were times when waves would come over me. And I knew it was God healing my nervous system, which I had practically destroyed in work. And just waves. All of a sudden, I just had this feeling like, oh, man, I feel so good. It took a long time to restore my body. And God is still restoring areas of it. I don't want you to have to do that. You just burn daylight. You're wasting a lot of good time. I want you guys to take the exit ramp. And so I garden. And when I'm out in the garden, that's where God, and he talks to me. I get great sermons out there. He talks to me about my life. You know, God speaks every language. He speaks gardenese. He speaks cookinese. He speaks sewingese. And God will talk to you out of everything that you like to do. But that's how God had me restore my health. Was to do that. And you can restore your health and keep your health maybe. It's better to keep than have to restore it. Now, this is the scary part. Try something new. But I might not like it. Well, so what? So what? When you were a little kid, you tried a lot of things. You tried spinach and peas and beans, and you had to try all those things there. Now, your Father God is just saying, try something new. Well, what if I don't like it? That's okay. You tried something new. How are you going to find out what you really like if you don't try something new? You may find, man, I really like doing this, whatever it is. You may have hidden talents and gifts in you, that, and most of us do, that we have not even activated. You know, Thomas Edison, it took him over 1,000 times before he got the light bulb. Aren't you glad he didn't quit after the second time? Well, every time you look at the light bulb, you go, okay, God, I'll keep trying. I see the light, God. I see the light. You know, just, we call it failure. It's not. It's just one way that didn't work. That's all it is. It's just one thing that didn't work. It's not a failure. You know, our words, what we say, really skew things. Discovery. I like that. Yeah, make your own discovery channel. I really want to encourage you folks, and we're going to do a little bit of mass deliverance. Do we have time, Patty? Is it? What time are we doing here? If not, you know, we'll do mass deliverance again tonight. Because, Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask now, and I loose the angels to go in and uncap all of the wells. Uncap, and I loose the angels to go in and cut the cords that are holding down your gifts and your talents. I loose the angels to go in for your mind to even recognize that this is something that you like. I come against all spirits of disassociation, where you have disassociated from yourself that you don't even know who you are anymore because you've had to live the life everybody else wanted you to live. So all the spirits of disassociation you come out to now in Jesus' name. I loose the angels to bring back all the shattered fragments of their mind, their will, their emotions. Come on, all of these spirits that have come in there, you loose the people now and come out. All the effects of being bullied, all the arrested development come out of the people now. All the spirits of trauma, come on, physical trauma, emotional trauma, mental, all the types of trauma out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, out of the body, out of the mind, out of the will. Come on, I command you to go. Come on, all the spirits that are bound up in the heart. Come on, all those spirits that are bound up in the heart that you don't even know what you like. You don't even know what you love. It's been so pressed down for so long, you don't have a clue. Come out now in Jesus Christ's name. All of you spirits that have been in there just suppressing and repressing and hiding from them the things that they really like to do, making them feel guilty when they do something they like. Now get out right now in Jesus' name. All you spirits of, you guilt-inducing spirits, get out. Well, you're just spending too much time on that. Who says? It's sure a lot cheaper than paying a $100,000 hospital bill. You better start weighing the odds here, people. It's going to be a lot cheaper to do what you love than to get a hospital bill. Come on, let's go. Right now in Jesus' name. Come on, every one of you spirits, out, out. I come against all the spirits of death, decay, and rot. I loose life into you. I loose life. I loose a spirit of godly curiosity into you. Because when you remain curious and you want to know, it keeps you young. It keeps you excited about life. Come on. Every one of you, come on. Every one of you spirits that are robbing them from fulfilling what God has called and made them to do, loose them now in Jesus' name. Come on. Every one of you. Every one of you. All the spirits of fears. All the fears. All the fears that you picked up from your family. Well, they never make any money. How can you make? You can't leave the farm. That's what they told my husband. Oh, Lordy. Where would we be today? Where would deliverance be today if he was still back plowing corn? You know, he had to stand up to his dad and say, no, God is calling me. Now go, come on, every one of you, go, 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 go. You're robbing a lot of people. When you don't fulfill your gifts and talents, you're being a robber and a thief because you are not giving to other people what God wants to give to them through you. Now go. It doesn't sound so pretty then, does it? Come on, let's go. Right now, every one of you spirits, come on. Every one of you spirits that try to rationalize and justify why they can't do what God created them to do. Come on, every one of you, go, 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 go. Come on, every one of you, every one of you. I command you to go. Come on. All the demonic expectations from your parents. Come on. All the religious spirits, come on. Girls can only do this. Girls can't be lion trainers. All that. Come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Go, 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 go. Come on. Come on. All girls can wear dresses. Come on, you get out right now in Jesus' name. Every one of you. All of these false teachings, they're religious spirits, and religion hates women. But Christ loves women. He came to set us free. It was the Sadducees and the Pharisees that said, no. Why do you have these women with you, Jesus? Don't you have a clue what you're doing? Jesus came to set us free, to be who he made us to be. Come on, let's go right now in Jesus' name. Fall out of agreement with all of those negative things that you've heard. Come on, all the fears. Girls do this and not that. Come on, all the family line curses I break over you now. Well, you can only be a doctor. You can only be a whatever it is. Out now in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. Not valuing your gifts. There was a whole message given by Michael Hopper on not valuing your gifts and the high cost of that, of not valuing your gift. Come on, let's go right now in Jesus' name. Come on, go, every one of you. Come on, come on, come on. All the death, all the unhappiness, all the headaches, all the backaches. Come on, there's no joy, there's no life, there's no peace. Come on, unsatiableness, never feeling satisfied. Come on, all this overeating, trying to feel satisfied. Just trying to fill up. Come on. It'll never happen, girls, until you do what God created you to do. Even if it's just a little bit, you start. You'll start feeling filled up. You'll start feeling content. You'll start feeling satisfied. Come on. Spirits of comparison. Comparing your life with someone else's. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We'll say, well, gee, I should be doing that. I should do that. I should do that. Come on. Let's go. Go, go. It's a distraction. It's a trap. It's a snare. Come on. The fear of man bringeth a snare out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. Come on. All these bullies all your life that have just tried to make you toe the mark. Stay in line. Go now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. Come on. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Unforgiveness of self. Come on. Money is God. I just got to make the money, make the money. I'm telling you, if you do what you love, it comes. It just comes. Come on, let's go right now in Jesus' name. And it's surprising how little you can live on when you love what you're doing. Come on, let's go right now in Jesus' name. Come on, every one of you. All the fears, all the cultural biases, you come out now in Jesus' name. All the false perceptions of people that bullying has done to you. Come on, all those demonic perceptions, you come out of the people now. Loose them. I command you to go. I command you to go right now. Every one of you, all the spirits of tail-bearing and the wounds of tail-bearing, you get out now. Get out of the stomach. Get out of the womb. Come on, every one of you, out of the mind. Come on, fill the people up, Lord. Fill them up from being hollowed out by the spirit of the tail-bearer. I loose angels to go and pull out all the spirits of backbiting, all the backbiting that people have done against you. Pull those darts out of their back. All of the daggers, all of the, everything that, just all this backbiting that's been done. Come on, let's go right now in Jesus' name. All this sniping that you do at each other, and you do it at your family, your husband, all that spirit of sniping. You come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, every one of you, every one of you. All the spirits of passivity, lethargy, resignation, come out now in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm fine the way it is. I'm fine. I'm sick, I'm poor, I'm dumb, but I'm fine. Come on, go right now in Jesus' name. Come on, go. Right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Resignation. Just resigning. Come on. Come on. Not wanting to press through and find out. Come on. You're not going to get to that land of milk and honey by just saying, que sera, sera. Come on. You got to get up and walk there. Go. Come on. Every one of you spirits now in Jesus' name. Come on. All that anger at God. All that anger at God. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on. Because you don't like what you do. You don't like who you are. What you've become, and so you're going to just blame God about it. It is His fault. It's all His fault. Come on, every one of you go right now in Jesus' name. Come on, everyone, all that anger and bitterness and hatred of God. Come on. We take responsibility. That's how God made us. We take responsibility. Come on, all the spirits of betrayal, all the spirits of being different, and all the spirits of being excluded, all of those wounds, those deep wounds of when you were betrayed, all those wounds when you were isolated and you didn't get invited to the parties or to go. Come on, now in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Go right now in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on. All the spirits of manipulation, all spirits of manipulation and control, come on, that come in with being bullied. All the feelings of fear, anger, lack of confidence, out now in Jesus Christ's name. Go. Come on, every one of you, every one of you. Father, in Jesus' name, I loose the angels now to go and take the target off of everyone's back. We are not going to wear that target to be bullied anymore. We rip it up in the spirit realm right now in Jesus Christ's name. Go right now. Come on. Come on. And we just put on that cloak of zeal. I command you that we just that cloak of zeal in Jesus' name. Come on. Despising small beginnings. Well, it's too little. It doesn't matter. Come on. Despising small beginnings. Out now in Jesus' name. Come on. Go. Come on. All those spirits of despising. I command you to go. Demonic expectations. Come on. All the expectations that you've picked up in the world that are totally world values. They're not God's values. They're world values. Come on, let's go. Come on. Demonic expectations. Worldly values. Come on. Bitter disappointments. Discouragement. Come on. Oh, it's so big. I'll never do it. Come on. I guess, what do they call that? The grasshopper spirit or something? When they go, oh, the giants are too big. You can't say that, girls. Come on, let's go right now. God says, I don't care. I said to go, go. Come on, let's go right now. Come on. Come on. Come on, all you spirits that say, well, why bother if it's not going to amount to anything? How do you know it's not going to amount to anything? Who told you that? Come on. All you lying spirits and all you spirits that lie, come out now in Jesus' name. Come on. We are not to lean on our own understanding all the time. Come on, that demonic understanding that says, don't trust God. You can't trust God. You can't trust God. Come on. Doubt, unbelief, mistrust. Come on. I command you to go. Come on, every one of you. Every one of you, go. Everything that is hindering the confidence, the joy, and the faith, you come out now in Jesus' name. All the spirits of occlusion and blockages, come out of the people now in Jesus' name. All the roadblocks and the blockages out of the body, the mind, the will, and the spirit now in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I just loose the angels now to go and continue to set the people free in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.